Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
If you haven't done so, why don't you just wave at your neighbor, just thank them for coming, just love on them just for a minute, give them a high five. Say, man, thank you for coming. Here we go. Guys on this side, there, I just gave you all a high five. Brother Noyola, sister in the back, all the way across the room. I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're blessed to be in the house. I was really strongly considering preaching my message from this past Sunday again. And I just might. It probably will come out some way or another. But it was so strong in my heart, church, to be able to share the word that God had given me for, I believe, the body of Christ, for you. We can so easily overlook our impact and overlook our responsibility in the gospel. And sometimes we can get easy, laxed in our belief that we just want it for us, and we don't realize that the kingdom is dwelling inside of us, amen? And the, not only is the kingdom inside us for us, but the kingdom is inside us for somebody else, amen? I was thinking about that word outreach and just kind of how it pertains to witnessing. And you know, when you think of that word outreach, it's one consecutive word, but it talks about going out. It talks about reaching. And if you break it down even more, you would find out that the word each is in reach. And so I believe that would remind us as the body of Christ that it's all of our responsibility. Amen. It's all of our responsibility to continue to bring heaven to earth and continue to show what heaven is like and bring the realm of heaven to everyone that we encounter. It's a powerful thing, church. I will share this. I had mentioned this, and I didn't realize that I kind of didn't close this story on Sunday. And so I'll say this, and then we'll get into the final part of my series for this past couple weeks. I had mentioned a young girl that was my neighbor that I told you were practicing homosexuals, and she had asked me this question, if our church was accepting. And in my message on Sunday, I did mention to you that, yes, absolutely, we are accepting of anyone. Jesus was accepting of anybody, but the truth is that he loved him enough to not leave him in the way that he found him. Amen? That's the power of the love of God. It's a transforming power. But as I was sharing that illustration with you, I went on to say that I shared what had happened to me, the experience that I had at Hayashi with that other young lady, that waitress, and the Lord had revealed something to my heart about her life. That was simply that woman was hiding behind her smile. And some of you have heard the story before, but I have to just make this connection. As I shared this with this woman that was asking me about our ministry, about our church, I was telling her that, you know, God had given me that word for the waitress, and I explained to her this is the way the Holy Spirit worked, that he could give you a word of knowledge in any circumstance, in any situation. And when I approached that waitress with the word, and it was in a tough moment, because I think any one of us could understand that as witnesses, sometimes we can get inside of our own head. As witnesses, sometimes we can try to ponder what the outcome will be before we even are obedient to the Lord. Amen? And so in my own spirit, I was wrestling in my heart to tell that waitress what the Lord had told me about her. But after I told her what God had said, that she was hiding behind her smile and that she needed to cast her cares upon the Lord, she broke down and she began to weep. And then I ministered to her and she just received the message from God. Those kinds of instances are frequent. Amen. Those kinds of things should be normal for a believer that has the kingdom of God living inside of them. What I failed to mention to you on Sunday was that after I shared that story with this neighbor, or the sister of my neighbors, after I finished sharing that story with her, God told me that it was for her too. And when I shared that with her, she began to cry on my driveway. And the reason she began to cry, I said, the Lord showed the same thing about that woman that I met in that restaurant to me about you tonight. And she looked at me and she began to weep. And I said, what does that mean to you? What does it mean that you're hiding behind your smile? And she began to tell me that she lost her mother in August. And she hasn't been able to cope. She didn't know how to deal with it. You know, the loss of a parent is an extremely difficult thing. And so she didn't know how to cope with it. She was trying to turn to God. She relocated from Dallas back to the valley to be with her dad and to come back and just, you know, but she felt like there was this kind of urge by God to sort of just get that walk going again. She admitted to me that she herself had accepted Christ, but she hadn't really got her walk going. And so that's the way the Holy Spirit works, church. The beautiful thing about him is that the love of God is, I believe, the major, most catalyst of how the Lord works. We don't love people with condition. Amen? I said, you don't love them with condition. That means you don't say, oh man, I love you. Would you come to my church? That's a condition. There's a string attached. Or man, I really love you, neighbor, you know, and I hope that you would join us for our church thing that we got going on. Well, if you only love them because you're going to get something out of it, that's not real love. Amen? This isn't the biblical love that I know. This is not agape love. That's conditional love. That's a phileo love. That's a different level. And while it's in our nature to love those who love us back, it's not the way the Lord wants us to operate. And so as people of God, I just need to kind of sum up this thought for you. As people of God, in your witnessing, in the times where you are going out and the Lord just prompts you to do something for somebody, or the Lord is speaking to your life, listen, it always needs to be driven by love. Driven by the compassion that Jesus would have for that person. I had an experience in my life group this past Monday. We actually watched a movie, and it's a powerful, powerful movie, and maybe we'll watch it here in church one of these days. But it actually starts off, and it's titled Furious Love. You can look it up on your own time. It's by a guy that was a church video camera guy. He was a camera guy, and he was asked to go to Africa to join a ministry team to go on this crusade. And when he goes to Africa, he's with this team, and he's there just thinking he's the camera guy, right? That's what he does. He hides behind a camera and he films. And so he said everything looked normal when the service started. He said there was a preacher, there was a stage, there was a bunch of people that came, and there was you know, praise and worship, and people looked happy. And then he said that he saw this little tent off to the side. And in this little tent, he thought, well, that's where people are probably going to go to receive Christ or maybe to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And actually, it wasn't that at all. That was the demon tent. That's where the people that began to be, you know, demon possessed, or the people that began to, you know, reveal demons in their life, that's where they went to get prayed for. And he said he has this huge eye opening because he says, this is nothing like the American church. He goes, this doesn't look normal. He goes, you know, you stand up, you sit down, you do what the preacher says, you go where the preacher, you know, whatever. It doesn't seem that way. And he was going like, what is happening? And so he is the camera guy, so he's got to go into these places and he's got to see what's going on. And they're praying for this young girl. She's probably in her teens. And as they're praying for her, she's gnashing of the teeth and foaming at the mouth, and it's a violent, you know, brutal scene to witness. And he goes and he's going like, what am I getting exposed to? Then he goes on this other little area and he's asked to go into kind of a remote area where there were, again, you know, with a team of missionaries, and they're out there kind of in the remote areas ministering to people. And one of the guys that's in this team, they ask him to pray for somebody. And he's thinking like, well, I'm just the camera guy. But out of obedience, he goes and he's like, okay, I guess I'll oblige the request. And he goes and he meets a man that has this kind of deformity in his leg. this guy is admitting the whole time, it's a documentary, it's really awesome. He's admitting the whole time, he's like, I don't have any business praying for anybody. He goes, I'm not the deacon, I'm not the elder, I'm not the pastor. He goes, I'm just the camera guy. He says, but this missionary invites him. He says, go ahead. The Lord told me, you place your hand right here on his leg. And so he's there and he prays for him. And he's like, okay, Lord, you know, just make it better. And he stands up and he's kind of a little bit skeptical. And all of a sudden he sees that the guy goes, wow. And the interpreter is telling him what the guy's saying. He's saying he's healed. He's well. And the camera guy said, he goes, I was just as surprised as him. He was almost in disbelief. He was like, really? Like, you just got healed. And the whole premise of this movie, it goes on to illustrate the way the Holy Spirit works. And the beautiful thing about it was all driven by love. It was always by love. It was never by just simply to show a miracle. It was never simply just to show a sign. It was always by love. The movie goes on, and they actually come back to the States, and they're in Salem, Massachusetts. And everywhere in Salem, Massachusetts, every year, they have a witchcraft conference. And basically, you know, if you remember the Salem witch trials and all that stuff in your history books, they still do that stuff to this day. And so it's literally a gathering of witches and warlocks. And he encounters these people, and he's again with this ministry team, and he finds out that first they're trying to just pray for people on the street, just everyday people, not the witches, not the warlocks. And he goes, and they're there, and they're just trying to pray for people on the side of the road, and nothing's happening. And his heart begins to go, God, what's the deal? Nothing's changing. They're praying for people left and right. It's the same team. It's the same ministers. It's the same, you know, missionaries, and nothing's happening. People are walking away saying, no, my back still hurts. My knee still hurts. And then finally they get bold. And they say, you know what? Let's go right in the middle of this witch conference thing that they're having. And they're out in the city square, and they're out there at night, and there's all kinds of people just dressed in black and looking like demons and practicing witchcraft people. And they go to the middle of this thing, and he encounters this group of young men. And he sets up shop in this little area as kind of a incognito guy that's going to do a spiritual reading. So he's getting people to come up to him, and he says, I'm just going to, you know, and all he was doing was he was praying for people. He said that he was doing a spiritual reading, but really what was happening was as people approached him, the Holy Spirit was telling him things about their life. And so they would walk up to him, and the Lord would tell him, he says, you have something wrong with your right hip. You have something wrong with the left side of your back. And they were going like, yeah. And they all asked him, what medium are you using to find out this information? He says, well, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus. And they're looking at him going like, what? And they pray for this young man who's a witch. And he asks them that very question. He says, what medium are you using to access this power that you have? And he says, it's Jesus. And in that moment, this witch takes off his hood and he bows at the name of Jesus. Well, the beauty about this whole movie is it's driven by love. It's just showing how the Holy Spirit church is not driven by condition. The Holy Spirit doesn't operate just because there is a need. The Holy Spirit operates because of the love of God. It's the compassion and the very anguish, the very burden that God's heart has. I shared that verse with you on Sunday, and many of you know it. Where Jesus was looking over the city Jerusalem, and he says that he had longed to gather them like a hen gathers her chicks. That was a I believe a moment of love. As if Jesus is looking over the city and he's saying, I miss you. I want you. I want your heart to be next to my heart. I want your heart to beat like my heart. I want your desires to know that in me it'll all be fulfilled. I'm the one who will fill your cup. I'm the one who will satisfy your soul. And it was that burden of just him knowing who he was, knowing the authority that his Father had given him, but yet seeing a people just not want it. My heart was so burdened this past week for that very reason. was knowing church. Knowing that God loves this world so much. And that statement is so watered down. But I have to say it again, that God loves this world so, so, so much. And the world doesn't even know. The world doesn't even know how much he loves them. But like I said, they're at ends with the church. The world is at ends with the church, with the people that say they know this Jesus. Because we're at ends with the world. I'll throw this in there, and don't let me lose you tonight. None of this is a part of my message, but do not allow your views in this world to ever stop you from loving somebody. The world is not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. Amen. No matter what side of a political argument you stand on, I said the world is not your enemy. The enemy is your enemy. And sometimes we allow things in this world to put up walls where all of a sudden we begin to disqualify people from God's love. And that is a big sin. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 18, I believe it's around verse 4 through 6, he said, if any one of you pushes one of these little ones away from me, he said, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the depths of the sea than to suffer the wrath of God. If we're on the end where we are those who are pushing people away from Jesus, then my friends, we've got a lot of repenting to do. Amen? Amen. But if we are on the side where we are those that are revealing the kingdom wherever we go, in everything that we do, then I believe we'll be those that will receive that faithful call where he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, we are either what? For him, or we are against him. We are either those who gather, or we are those who scatter. We are either those who build, or we're those who tear down. There's no gray area, there's no in between. I say all that to say that in our life group, after we had a time of watching that movie, we were talking about it, we were discussing it just for a little bit, and one of the young men, Alan, that goes, attends my class, he had suffered an injury months back. He was working in the oil fields, and he's a frail little guy. He's a small guy to be working out in the oil fields, and he had what was almost like a, I believe like a hernia type of injury, certainly a stressed muscle. And as we were talking about the movie and what we had just seen, I could feel the Holy Spirit just in the room. And so we had a couple prayer requests, and we had a couple things that we needed to talk about, pray for. And so we said, okay, we're going to pray for this, we're going to pray for that. And as we began to pray, I felt the Lord show me exactly where it was. It was on his left side, and it was around the side. And we began to pray, and without calling that out, I just began to pray, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was touching him. As soon as we started praying, he was sitting on the couch like this, and he goes like that. And we finished praying, and we stopped, and I looked right at him, and I said, "How do you feel?" And he was like, I feel all hot right here. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's good." I said, "But how do you feel?" He's like, And he started laughing. Like, he didn't even know what to do. He didn't know how to explain it. It was just inexplainable. He's like, I feel all hot. Like, I said, move it, check it. I said, check it. I'm like, be bold, man. If the Holy Spirit's touching you, you want to make sure that's him right there in that moment. And he goes, "Oh, it feels pretty good. It feels pretty good." I said, "Hey, you know what? Let's pray again. Father, in Jesus' name, finish the work." And we prayed right then and there. We began to glorify God. I said, "Lord, right now we glorify you, Lord. We know that you touched this body, God. We know that you've done this work." And we finished praying. We were all excited, man. When he was walking out of my house, he did one of these. He was like, he did something, and I was like, "How does it feel?" He said, "Man, this feels great." I said, "Listen, I want you to give me an update." So he says, I said, "Tomorrow, call me, text me, just let me know how you feel." I said, "Because I'm claiming this one." He goes, "Okay, last night he went, he works at a gym and he went to a spin class, like a cycling class, you know, those things are brutal. So don't sign me up just in case you guys like that stuff. But I wouldn't last 2 minutes on a bike anymore. But he goes to this like spin class thing, cycling class, and I forget how long he said it was. It was a good while though. I think it was like 45 minutes. He was expecting to just be, you know, in a ton of pain, you know, after he finished. And he says, I feel nothing. He goes, I feel nothing. Like, I feel great. He goes, the pain is gone. I don't feel anything. Church, that's the Holy Spirit. He's always ready to work. I said, he's always ready to work. And this is what I love about him. And, you know, I have to admit this, and I want you to understand that I'm a very forward person. This is something that I'm learning more about every day. Okay, trust me, I haven't got it all figured out, and this is something though that I'm learning how to host the presence of God, and understand exactly what it is that moves His heart. His heart is for people, church. I said His heart is just for people. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. When you came to Jesus, His heart was for you and it attracted you to Him. Amen? The fact that He said, your sins are no more. The fact that He, you know, took your sins as far as the east is from the west and showed you how great His love was. Man, that is enough, church. That is enough to just make you go, oh my gosh. Lord, that you love me that much. And He goes, yeah. And the call that I gave the church on Sunday is the same kind of call that I'll give you tonight. We just need to love people. We just really need to love the world once again. I'm tired of being a person and being around people or being in the midst of people that are just looking for ways to condemn people and looking for ways to judge people. I want them to see the kingdom. I want them to see the kingdom. I want them to know that God loves them. Sunday after church, we finished service, and Sister, I think it was Sister Elsie, came up to me, and she's like, Pastor, we need you to come. I said, okay, what's going on? She goes, we got a little boy, and Brother Francis was there, and says, there's this little boy, he's 13 years old. He's tried to commit suicide 4 or 5 times. 13 years old. He was here in service on Sunday. He's actually here tonight. He's in the back with our youth. And I look at this young man, and we began to kind of hear him out and just, you know, hear what was going on. And I said, listen, tell me about your life. I said, something happened. What happened? He said, my mom is verbally abusive. She tells me to kill myself. She tells me that I'm worthless. She tells me that I'm this. She tells me that I'm that. I said, let me guess, your dad's not in the picture, right? He's like, no. His sister's bipolar. Just a heavy oppression over this family. For a 13-year-old to want to end his life is, I don't get it. But I do get it, because that was me. I have the scars to prove it. You see, when oppression takes over a family, when oppression and the enemy creeps into their life, the only way that oppression is lifted is when they have an encounter with the oppression lifter. When they have an encounter with the person that breaks off every single chain, church. The only way that young man would ever be set free is not by saying, hey, well, you need to go to juvenile, you know, delinquent center because they're going to help you. Or you need to go to, you know, the doctor and get you some kind of medication to chill you out because that's what it seems like. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's all about this chain-breaking Jesus that we know and serve. He's the only one, church, that can break a chain. I said, he's the only one. He's the only one that can lift an oppression. He's the only one that can break a generational curse. It's Jesus. And it's only Jesus. And so we gave him Jesus, Brother Francis, didn't we? We gave him Jesus. We ministered to him. We loved on him. We began to pray for him. And we led him to Jesus. Amen. Sadly, though, I say, church, sadly, I say, there's people like that in our midst that we're not even taking 2 seconds to say, what's going on? How are you doing? If we would just stop for a moment. Jesus wasn't a person that was just trying to pass people by. But he had places to go, he had people to see, he had things to do. But the power of God radiated upon his life so much that even when he was passing by, people could be healed. Even when he was walking through a crowd of people, all they had to do was touch the hem of his garment. This is the power of Jesus. And that very same power, the Bible says, lives in you. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in this world. And my challenge to us tonight, because we're going to pray. I haven't even gotten into my message, but I don't feel that that's what God wants me to do tonight. I feel the challenge for us, church, is this. It's to be able to get out of ourselves enough to realize that when we internalize this whole spiritual battle, and when we think it's up to us, in the sense of, well, I've got to do something, you're missing the point. The point is this, is that the Holy Spirit works from people that are submissive and surrendered. The Holy Spirit works through people that have completely said yes to Jesus, that are at his beck and call. When he says to do something, you do it. You move out of obedience, but you act in love. And when you do this, when you are a person that is operating this way, the Holy Spirit can work through your life in power. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit is in us for us, but he's on us for somebody else. You have a gift in your life. You have an anointing in your life. You have ways, church, of blessing people that you probably don't even realize that you have. You have giftings and you have anointings where you can show the love of Jesus to anybody that you encounter. And guess what? It's simply a matter of just being obedient. It starts with obedience. But from obedience, all that looks like is you saying, Lord, I'm willing to sow if you told me to sow. I'm willing to pour into somebody's life, Lord, if you told me to pour into somebody's life. Lord, I am willing, Father, to bless in somebody's life if you told me to bless in somebody's life. And the Lord will bring the increase. The pressure comes off of us and everything goes back to heaven. Everything goes back to heaven. And you say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. God, you do the rest. I'm trusting, Lord, that from this point, you will do whatever is supposed to be done in their life. I used to get real disappointed when I, you know, was going to pray for somebody, or I was praying for them, and or, you know, had an altar call or something, and I used to get real disappointed. I said, you know, I would be like, God, you know, how come it didn't happen? And I'd look at myself, and you know what? There is a responsibility that we have to have as children of God. We do have to be consecrated, church. We do have to be holy. We do have to be pure before the Lord. We do have to be separate. Those things do not change. That is a mandate, that is a requisite of being a follower of Jesus. But the more that you follow him, those things don't happen out of simply response to duties or response to, you know, having to fulfill a requirement. Those things happen because you love him. You don't love because you obey. You obey because you love. Right? You obey because you love him. You obey because he's the lover of your soul. And you love him right back. And when this obedience thing begins to happen and you begin to operate in the Spirit, then there's a responsibility that heaven takes over and says, you've done the possible, now watch me do the impossible. Amen. You've done the part that you were asked to do, now I'll do the rest. But 99.9% of the time, every one of us hears the voice of the enemy that says, you're not fit for this work. You're not qualified to do this. Don't lay hands on them. Don't pray for them. You're unworthy. You're unqualified. You're not a person that could ever be used by God. The enemy challenges your sonship. He challenges your identity in Christ. He says, who are you to think you could be a vessel used by God? But the Lord says, who are you to not think that you couldn't be used by God? God is limitless. I said, he's limitless. Remember when he spoke through a donkey? Yeah, he's limitless. Remember when he said, if you don't praise me, I can make the rocks cry out and praise me? Yeah, he's limitless. When we know who we are in Christ, when you know who you are in Jesus, that is where your identity is set. You know that you're called to serve, but you know also that you have the inheritance of a king. When you realize your identity, this church is when you begin to fulfill your purpose in Christ. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, you remember that verse, the Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, right? And what's the first thing that the devil tries to do? He says, if you're the Son of God, he says, take these stones and turn them into bread. What does he do? He not only challenges his identity in God, and just a few verses earlier in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus is baptized in water, what was the voice saying from heaven? It says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had just been told by the Father that he was who? The Son. And when you accepted Jesus, that voice, I believe, came over your life too and said, this is my son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. My blood bought your righteousness. My blood bought your forgiveness. This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. So it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to whisper in your ear because God already qualified you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's as simple as that. And so all of a sudden this kingdom comes in our life and it's just bursting at the seams. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like a river that's waiting to flow. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like a wellspring that wells up inside of us. I'll never forget the first time I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Some of you, yes, good. For those of you that haven't, that's okay. Just pray. Just pray. Press into it. Press into it. It's going to happen. It will happen. But the first time that ever happened in my life, I was 18 years old. I was a senior in high school. And I remember we had this guest speaker here at church. And we finished praise and worship. And we had got off the altar. You know, when you're a young person in the church, you think that any time the pastor or preacher calls you out, it's because he's probably going to reveal some kind of sin in your life. And he goes, I walk off the altar and he goes, young man. And I'm like, oh no, this guy's about to read my mail in front of everybody. He's about to say everything that I've ever done wrong. And he says, young man, come here. And I walked up there and it was the first night of a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday revival thing that we were having. It was like a 5-day thing. And this guy walks up there and he said, the Lord told me that you've been praying for something, that you've been praying to receive the Holy Ghost. Is that true? And I said, yeah. And it was something that I had desired. It was a prayer that I had put before the Lord. And he says, well, tonight's the night. He said, I just want you to focus on Jesus. And I began to just focus on the Lord. And all of a sudden, I felt like a bubbling, a fire, tongues, and next thing I know, there's people slain everywhere, and there's people receiving tongues, there's people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the room. And the truth about this experience that was so powerful for me, church, was that I thought, why would God even want to touch me this way? And the Lord's heart was, why not? The Lord's heart was more for wanting to be in my life than me disqualifying myself. And we've got to get this right in our minds, church. We've got to be, I was going to talk to you about renewal tonight, but the Bible says that there is a renewing of the mind that needs to take place. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know the verse. It says that, therefore, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, be renewed in your mind. what that renewal talks about and what that renewal is meaning is that we have to reprogram this. The moment that you give this to Jesus, this is good. Amen? He makes home inside of your heart and he's there. He's ready to work. He's ready to do something in your life. But it's this that needs the convincing. Amen? It's this that takes you back to your past. It's this that takes you back to that gravesite where Jesus pulled you out of. It's this that takes you back to those things that you say, oh, but I did this. And sometimes all the enemy's got to do is go boop and push a little button. Pushes that little button, you go back and you say, oh man, no, God could never use me. And it's this that needs constant renewal. And so when we put on the mind of Christ, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. When we put on the mind of Christ and we put the word of God inside of our lives, it begins this transformation process in our mind. But everything starts from the heart. And when you are being a person that is a kingdom operating person, when you are there, you are operating with the heart of God. You are operating from that place, church, where you love the Lord and you've seen God do great in your life. And all you need to do is just give that out to somebody else. Matthew 10 and 7, you remember the verses from Sunday. He talked about the fact that we would be, as the body of Christ, those who drive out demons, those who speak in new tongues, those who are those that could, you know, trample snakes and scorpions, those who could raise the dead. And he goes on to say, freely as you've received, freely give. What you've received in your life, church, is a free gift. No strings attached. You want to see the kingdom of God come over a person that you're praying for? Don't put any strings on it. You say, why are you paying for my groceries? God loves you. No, what are you trying to get out of it? Nothing. I just want you to know that he loves you. Why would you help me when I'm stranded on the side of the road? Because God loves you. There's nothing. There's no string attached. There isn't. Jesus didn't say, I've come to, you know, build up a church. He didn't say that. He talked about the fields being ripe for harvest. And he says to pray to the God of the harvest to send out the workers who would get it done. Send out those who would have faith enough to release this kingdom back into the world. The world is waiting for us, church. I said, the world is waiting for us. I believe the Holy Spirit's in this room tonight. Would you stand to your feet, church, and I want you to come up to this altar. Guys, could you put some soft music on? Not too loud, please. Here's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works in the most powerful, awesome way. And that looks like this. You can scrunch in and get close to somebody. Here's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to place our hands on our neighbor, anybody, somebody around you. Just find somebody. Place your hands on them tonight. I want you to take just a minute right now. If you don't know them, that's your fault, okay? You've had all night to get to know them. But I want you to talk to them just for a second and just ask them one thing that they need prayed for tonight. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's hurt. I don't care if it's pain. I don't care if it's some kind of financial situation. Just ask them. Go ahead. I'll give you a minute to do that. Ask them whatever need they have need to be prayed for tonight. Anything. Anything. Can be anything. So whatever that need is tonight, whatever that need is right now, I want you to just begin to pray for them, okay? You pray for them right now. I'll give you 30 seconds for you to pray for them, and I'll give you another 30 seconds for them to pray for you. Go ahead. Come to Thank you, Jesus. Now, right now, pray for the other neighbor. Pray for the other person that's next to you. If they prayed for you, now I want you to pray for them. Now pray for that other person on your side. We bless you. It's okay. Keep praying. Come on. Keep praying. Keep praying tonight. Holy Spirit, we bless you. 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 We bless you, God. We bless you, God. I bless these young people, Father, in Jesus' name, God. I bless them tonight, Jesus. I bless them, Father God. I bless them right now, Holy Spirit. I bless them, God, with your goodness, Lord, and your power and your anointing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. I bless them, Father God, with your Spirit, Lord. Come over them, Father God. Fill their hearts, Lord Jesus, God. Remind them, Lord, of your power and of your love, God. Give them peace, Father God. Give them joy, Father God. Lord, just remind them, God, of your goodness tonight, Lord. Father God, bless them, God, in every single situation, Jesus. Bless them in every single situation, Father God. Lord God, we declare, Father God, your faithfulness, God. We declare your goodness, Lord. We declare your love, Father God, Jesus. Lord, to be poured out over us, God, right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We know, Father, that your power and your goodness, God, is for us, God. And Lord Jesus, you are working, God, for us, God. You are working, Lord, in mighty ways, Father God, that we cannot even see or fathom, God. But we are trusting, Lord, today, God. Lord Jesus, that the choices, God, that we have made, Father God, Lord, you know, Father God, about Lord Jesus. And so, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, God. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would just reveal your love, Father God. And you would just remind my sister tonight, God, in Jesus' name, Father, how much you love her, God. how much you are for her, God. How much you are valued, Lord, over her, Father God. And how much, Lord Jesus, she is your child, Father God. She is steadfast.
Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done.
Holy Spirit, we love you. Every hand lifted in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, that you're speaking over us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're working in us right now, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, because you said, Lord, that this house, God, would be called a house of prayer, God. And so, Father God, we just pray right now that, Holy Spirit, you continue to reveal, Father God, to us, Lord, your faithfulness, God. You continue to reveal, Father God, in our life, Jesus, Lord, how much you love us, God. You continue to reveal through our life, Lord Jesus, to this world, God, how much you love them, Lord. And so I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, for, Lord, an increase, Lord, of witness, God, in these last days, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you would light up somebody's heart, God, and you would light up their life, Lord Jesus, God, to tell, Father God, of the goodness, Lord, to tell of the faithfulness, God, to tell, Lord Jesus, of everything that you have done, Father. And so, Father, Lord, I pray, Father, for a spirit of boldness, God. I pray for a spirit of courage, Jesus. I pray, Father God, for a spirit, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, that wouldn't look, Father God, at people, Father God, Lord Jesus, as, Lord, fleshborn, but would look at them, Father God, Lord, as souls, God. Would look at them, Father God, Lord, as people, God, as spirit. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that our eyes, Jesus, would be like your eyes, God, and they wouldn't see, God, condition, Lord, but they would see, Father God, who you've called them to be, Father. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I want us to pray for people right now. I want us to pray for one person, somebody that you've been witnessing to, somebody that you want to know Jesus. Right now, no matter who it is, it could be an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, a grandma, a grandpa, a child. Listen, I want you to just put them on your heart right now. Holy Spirit, just give everybody one person right now. I want you to think about that person right now. Just think about them just for a second. And I don't want you to think how far they are from God. I want you to think who they will be in God. And so right now, I want you to prophesy over their life. I want you to begin to call them out, not as they are, but call them into the existence that you believe God wants them to be. I want us to do that right now. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now, God, for these people, Lord. We pray, Father God, Lord Jesus, Lord, over them, God. And Lord, we won't look at their condition, God, as, Father God, a condition that's unfixable, God, or a condition, God, that is too far gone, Lord. You said in your word, Father God, Lord, that your arm is not too short, that it cannot save, God. Neither is your ear dull, God, that it cannot hear, God. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, God, Lord, for these hearts, God, and these souls, God, and these bones, Father God, to live, God, in you, Lord Jesus. We pray over these people, Father God, Lord, that even though they're far from you, God, even though their mind is not even on you today, Father, we speak, Father God, destiny over them, God. We speak, Father God, Lord Jesus, your purpose and your plan over them, God. And we are trusting and we are believing today, Father, that, Lord, seeds will be planted in their life, God. We are believing, God, Jesus, Lord, that, Father God, Lord, there's something, God, begin to germinate in their hearts, God. There's something that is beginning to spring up in their life, Jesus. And so as we pray for them tonight, Father, we believe in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you will be, Father God, a mighty witness through us, Lord. That you will be a mighty witness through our life, God. To be, Father God, that person that waters, God. To be that person that sows, Lord. But we are trusting right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, that you would break off every chain from those hearts, God. Lord Jesus, that you would make the light of Christ that is in our life, Lord, just illuminate, God, and be so bright, Father God. Lord, that they see, Father God, that light, God, in their veiled eyes. Lord, that they see that light, God, in the darkness that they live in, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I want you right now to surround a young person. We all feel young, but I want you to surround a young person tonight. There's a young man over here. There's some young people right over here. I want you guys to surround them right now. I want you to just surround them tonight. And I want to pray for them. Because here's the truth. You guys know Jesus. I said, you guys know Jesus, and I believe that we all know Jesus. I pray that we all know Jesus. But these guys are the next generation. Amen? These guys are going to carry the cross of Jesus a lot further than we ever could. Amen? And so I want you to pray. I want you to just surround them tonight and just bless on them right now in the name of Jesus. Do it right now. Come on, church. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Just bless on them in the name of Jesus. God, Lord, be manifest in their life, Lord, in a powerful way, God. May your kingdom flow out of their life, Lord Jesus, in a powerful way. Devil, you have no authority over our young people anymore. I said, devil, you have no authority over our young people anymore, God. But Father, we call them out, Lord Jesus, God, and we, Lord, speak life over them today, Father, that they would be, Father God, the next generation, God, to be those, Lord Jesus, that would carry this cross, Lord, that would carry, Father God, your anointing, God, and your power and your kingdom, Father God, to everyone that they come in contact with. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I want us to just take a minute right now to just praise Him. I want you to just lift your voice right now and just worship Him right now. Just thank Him. Holy Spirit, we love you. I said, Holy Spirit, we bless your name tonight. We thank you, God, that, Lord, you have been, Father, the way maker, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you have been, Lord Jesus, just everything that we have ever needed, Lord. And God, our cup, Lord, is full, God, and our heart is satisfied because of you, Holy Spirit. I said our cup is full and our heart is satisfied because of you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Father God, Lord, I pray over your people tonight, God, that every single burden be lifted, God. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, Father God, that, Lord Jesus, every single thing, Lord, that they have been praying for, God, would come to pass, Lord. And you say in your word, God, you gave us this promise, God. If we would seek first the kingdom of God and all your righteousness, all these things would be added to us. And so, God, keep us focused on the kingdom, God. Keep us focused on the King. Keep us focused, Lord Jesus, on those things, Lord, that your heart is after, God, and not where our heart wanders. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands right now. We love you, Holy Spirit. I want you to just tell him you love him tonight. I want you to tell him you love him tonight. Holy Spirit, we bless you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you, God, for filling our hearts and filling our cups tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. How many of you love Jesus tonight? He's faithful, amen. I said he is faithful. He is faithful. We'll probably do this next week too, okay? So I'm blessed, church. I pray you are blessed as well. I pray that you are blessed tonight. I want us to just pray. And then our young people are in the back because they've got some like nachos or hot Cheetos or something that they want you to buy. So why don't we pray? Lord, we bless you. We just thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, God, because, Lord, it's never an interruption to pray. But Father God, Lord, it's the very reason, God, that this house exists, to be a house of prayer, Lord. And so, God, I pray, Lord, tonight, God, that chains were broken, God, in the spirit. I pray, God, Lord Jesus, that bodies were touched in the spirit, that minds were freed in the spirit tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.